Thank you for joining us for episode 463 of Live Happy Now. What if thinking about death could give more meaning to your life? Well, today's guest says it can, and she has the research to back it up. I'm your host, Paula Phelps, and today I'm talking with Jody Wellman, founder of 4000 Mondays, a company designed to help people make the most of their time on this planet. Her TED Talk, How Death Can Bring You Back to Life, has more than 1.3 million views, and her new book, You Only Die Once, How to Make It to the End with No Regrets, is being released in just a few weeks. I sat down with Jody to find out what started this mission and, more importantly, how we all can live better by counting the Mondays that we have left. Let's have a listen. Jody, thank you so much for coming on Live Happy Now.
Oh, I'm just downright giddy to be here with you, Paul.
As I told you, I have been so looking forward to this conversation. We've been emailing for a while. I kind of had to wait until we were closer to your book coming out, and it's going to be coming out soon. But even without your book being on the shelves yet, you've been creating some incredible content that reminds us to live our life and be alive. And I wanted to find out your backstory. How did that become your mission?
Well, thank you for the compliment and thank you for asking. And, you know, I have been, I would say, appropriately interested in our mortality for a very long time. So since I was probably in my early 20s, and just to, you know, cut to the chase, you know, I really do believe that the way that we can wake up to living is through the sometimes stark and sometimes a bit of a splash cold water in your face reminder that right, we're totally going to die. So how do we use that not to feel morbid? I found, you know, in my 20s, I was always just fascinated by it. And then my mom died. She went and had the nerve to die, that lovely lady, in her late 50s. And it wasn't so much for me that she died, which was obviously a crappy thing, but it was my perception at the time that she died with a bunch of regrets. And it broke my heart to see, as I cleaned up her place, all like the vestiges of all these dreams that were just sort of like, well, I don't know, I think I call it somewhere in the book, like the land of like dormant intentions, you know, like all these ideas that she was talented and creative and fabulous and just didn't execute. And it really woke me up to this idea that we have an end date. We don't know when it is. And here we are taking our time for granted. So I guess that was a huge wake up for me, which was not just so much that, oh, you could die unexpectedly early, but it's like, oh, you could die in a way where maybe we didn't do this life justice, because we all have hopes and plans and dreams and goals and things. And oh, what a shame if we don't get to do them, you know?
And that's so insightful that that occurred at such a young age, that your interest in this and your fascination, because we are immortal into our 30s, you know, and it doesn't cross our mind that anything, even when we lose friends unexpectedly, it's like, well, that's tragic and it's not supposed to happen, but it's not going to happen to me.
Right. Oh, thanks for touching on that, because we do a really good job of sort of just denying the inevitable, right? If it happens to other people or they're older, or it is just a very rare tragedy, an occurrence that will not be my fate. And then you're right, as we age, we start to see that, wait a minute, maybe this ruse I've been telling myself is, maybe it's actually closer than I think. So let's use that instead of, you know, triggering an existential crisis, let's make it like existential catharsis. Ooh, we just coined something new here today. Yeah. Let's use this, right?
Yeah, because you could almost call this the joy of death, the way that you approach it. I mean, you give us so much inspiration to like, okay, I have an end date and here's what I've got to do before. And it's not like a bucket list. It's different than a bucket list. Can you explain that?
Oh, well, sure. I think many of us just, I have strong feelings about the bucket list. You know, it can be lovely, just as an aside, you know, to touch on that for a sec. If we do identify things that we yearn and long to do that might light us up. But I do think that there's danger because it creates this sort of false sense of satisfaction. And there's research around this, right? The idea that sometimes we identify a goal, we put it on a piece of paper or a spreadsheet, and we put it away, and then we go and live our ho-hum Monday to Friday lives because it's this notion that I'll do it later. And danger signs, you know, like let's have flashing lights happen, because this deferral of life, I'm not even just worried that we won't get there, because, you know, odds are maybe slim, but many of us were waiting to live when we retire. Well, we ain't exactly in our prime at that stage of life, you know, to be traipsing around the world. But I just think, what about our lives now? Don't they deserve something? You know, so it is more than just ticking things off a list. I think I've I have this framework about living wider with vitality and deeper with meaning. And I love just using that as a way to stop and assess how wide and deep is my life mm-hmm. while I'm here.
Yeah. And can you talk about 4,000 Mondays? First of all, when it started, and then explain to us what it is, because I really, really love this. And your TED Talk, we're going to give listeners a link to your TED Talk, because that is such an excellent 15-minute explanation of it.
Oh, thank you so much for that. Well, 4,000 Mondays, I named my company that because that is approximately the math of what we get if we're, you know, lucky to get that many weeks. And I've chosen Mondays on purpose because they're just the most annoying. And I don't want to annoy people, but I want to, if it was like 4,000 Saturdays, it'd be like, woohoo, life's great. Don't need to think about it. But Mondays do rankle, and I want to rankle in the right way to say, are you enjoying getting up on a Monday morning, or are you dreading it? Or maybe somewhere in between, depending on the day and week. So roughly with that timeline, you know, that's what we have. And started 4,000 Mondays after I studied positive psychology of all things at the University of Pennsylvania. That was in 2020, a very interesting year in our globe.
That's a great year to be doing positive psychology.
Yeah, it was well-timed, didn't know it when I started. And I'll just share, you know, having been interested in this mortality topic for years, but skirting the edges of it, because I just told myself a story that while I worked with corporations, you know, either as an executive coach or leadership consultant, and prior to that, working corporately for 17 years, I was like, I can't talk about the Grim Reaper and have anybody take me seriously. And then I think I found a way, you know, studying it. Anything that you can say that there's empirical evidence behind, all of a sudden you can stand on a stage. Or at least I could with more confidence. And so that for me was this, and in addition to, you know, the plague happening to our universe, it was like, I think I have a chance to restart and I cannot not do this. Like I was grabbed, and I don't know, I'm very, very visual, but I'm imagining myself literally being gripped on the arm by the Grim Reaper. I couldn't let it go. It was, I have to do this. I have to scream from the mountaintops, like live guys, because time's ticking.
And I love that. I mean, that's so much purpose, so much clarity of this is my mission and I have to spread this message. I mean, I've very rarely seen people who are that clear and that determined, like this is it and I've got to get it out and I will find a way to do that.
I maybe will be a shout out for some people that I work with, a lot of people who are trying to find the thing that they are super passionate about. And, you know, it's an important part of living a life well lived is feeling like you did the thing that sparked you. Mm-hmm. And I feel fortunate that, like, see, I think what I did was I listened finally and lit the spark. Like I could tell that it was sizzling in the background. And I feel fortunate that in my mid 40s back then, I came to this like, oh no, I'm doing the thing. I'm no longer putting that thing aside. I will find a way to talk to corporations about legacy and mortality. On one hand, if you're waiting for that thing to bite you, it could still come. And also, you know, just a little shout out to go and suss around and find that little ember of a flame of passion, right? And see what's there. Give it a go.
Mm-hmm. And one thing you advise us to do is to count our remaining Mondays.
Oh,
and
yes.
So I did that. And then I decided like I needed more Mondays. So I decided to live longer. I expanded it. So why is it a good idea to count our Mondays? Because some people, they might do like I do, where it's like, you've got to be kidding me.
And right. Right. Yeah, it is definitely potentially morbid and eye-opening and good, I say. So this granularity that I am hoping we all get, like I just like breaking things down to the ridiculous for the purpose of the wake-up call, right? So the idea, and I have a calculator on my website if math is like not a good way to spend your remaining Mondays. It's on the resources page. But it's a way to say, like, I know I have 1,841 Mondays left. And when you do the countdown, it usually does create that little reaction. And then the science behind it is what's called temporal scarcity. And that's that phenomenon that happens when we tune into something that is limited time only. Our perception about it all of a sudden is very different than when we just thought, you know, we could live forever. Not that we consciously think that. But when we know something is like a pumpkin spice latte, only going to be around for a certain amount of time, or a rare gem, it's so much more valuable.
Right.
And that is exactly the deal with counting our Mondays. It's, I think we get halfway there when we just talk about the idea that we are finite. Oh, sucks to be us. What do you want to do? And then, you know, go answer your next email. But when you do the math, you know, I don't call it morbid math. I guess I call it motivating math. That is the thing that makes you say, Like maybe it takes a bit of your breath away. Like I did it recently about my working Mondays left. And I don't really know if I'll ever really retire, but whatever, you know, like at the age that I feel like I'm allowed to say no to stuff. And it took my breath away. It caused me to seize and say, oh, wait a minute, that's not enough time to do the things I want to do.
Mm-hmm.
And all right, let's just all take a moment of silence to acknowledge that, crap, there will never be enough time to live the lives we yearn to live. Okay. And so now it's just like a recalibration exercise of like, what matters? What do you want to stuff in there? So my exercise was like a career exercise of, oh, I do not want to be doing these things anymore. So I redesigned my business, for example, doing way less one-on-one coaching. And it's like, I want to be doing all my things over here for now. You know, we reserve the right to change. So this is that editing that we get to do. It's the reprioritizing that we get to do of how do I fit in what matters? Presuming you've done a little bit of internal work to figure out what really does matter. And that we can, you know, we can do that in an afternoon at Starbucks.
Yeah. Yeah. And that what your message does is give us hope that it doesn't matter how many Mondays we have left. I do have friends, they're either thinking about retiring or they have retired recently. And they're kind of like throwing up their hands like, well, you know, I didn't do that. I wish I had. And I'm like, you still have time, especially if you're not working, like you can go do it. And that is what your message delivers so clearly, like just because you didn't do it, like, okay, so you didn't join that rock band in high school and now you're 70. Pick up a guitar, figure it out, do it now. You know, that's the kind of hope that you give us.
Okay, we're right on the same wavelength and you're just making me burst here at the seams because I have this notion and it might be my next book that I would call Not Dead Yet. And it is this idea that, wow, while we still have, depending how spiritual you are, but like the gift of being alive, this preciousness, we're only limited by our imagination and our confidence, to be super honest. I think it's fear. We all know the dreaded F word that just holds us back. You're right. It is not too late. And this is what I call pre-grets. And I know it's a silly phrase, but it's this idea about, okay, so when you do that age old deathbed regrets exercise, you know, like, if tonight was my night, what would I be thinking? Darn it all. I wished I did that. I didn't do that. Darn it. Make that list. And the good news is that, well, hallelujah, you know, you're not dying tonight. Knock on melamine here. So now's your chance. This is why it's a pre-gret. It's a regret in the making that if you continue down your life course, yeah, you will regret not learning Italian and not getting into that band and not maybe starting that side hustle or whatever. But good news, you're not dead yet. So you could do it technically now, even a small version of it.
You know what? Last year, I covered the Rock and Roll Fantasy Camp in Nashville. And that's where people who have always wanted to be musicians get to come and they jam with big name musicians. It was the women's version of the camp. I met a woman named Carolyn Price, who was 65 years old. When she retired 2 years ago, she was like, well, I've always wanted to play the drums. She went to the School of Rock. Now, if you know School of Rock, these are kids. Like they're like 8, 12-year-olds. And here she is in her 60s getting out there and learning how to play the drums. And I saw this woman get up on stage and jam with people 20, 30 years younger than her, having the absolute, she was living her dream. And she told me, if that is the only time I ever got on stage like that, worth it.
Oh my goodness, this is fabulous. You're reminding me, my sister in Toronto has a friend nearby who's in her early 80s. And she said, I don't know how much time I have left. I got the convertible and we're driving to Niagara on the Lake and we've got scarves in our hair like they did in the old movies and we're driving and our scarves will be blowing in the wind and we're in a convertible that I just bought and I just did this, right? We all know examples. I'm thinking of a fabulous friend who went and got her master's in her 60s and her early 70s, got her PhD. We are not limited. You know, I mean, clearly sometimes we're resource limited, but usually we're just holding ourselves back. We get to live wider. Your example there of the School of Rock gal, that's living wider with vitality. It's saying, I want to do these things. I want to feel proud that I showed up and lived it. And it's not for optics. You know, it's not just to make other people feel like, ooh, look at your social media life. It's so glitzy. It's like I prioritized and I made sure that this list of stuff that I thought would be pretty cool to do in a life well lived, I made the time for it and I didn't defer it. I didn't defer it to a tomorrow that maybe wouldn't come, or I didn't defer it to a tomorrow when I maybe wasn't able-bodied and I couldn't actually go on the cruise and go on the, I know people that have planned They said, I'm going to travel later when I retire later. And then they did it. And then their fibromyalgia is so bad that they basically stayed on the cruise the whole time and couldn't mm-hmm. go on any of the excursions, you know?
Yeah. And it's so sad because I've seen that as well. And we had done some adventure travel probably 10, 15 years ago and saw a couple mm-hmm. that they had saved up and they had lived for this adventure and he couldn't get out of the dinghy to do the climb.
Oh, yeah.
And, you know, it's just as sad. So it's like you want to act on your dreams now. And one thing that you do to help us get there is you have a quiz to identify how alive we are.
Yeah.
And I want to find out, like, how did you come up with this? And also, what have you discovered through this?
Ooh, I've discovered things I did not expect. And it's a pretty simple quiz that gets you, it's right on the website. So if you go to the website, an annoying pop-up will occur, and that's the quiz that will take you there. Pop-ups can be good. That it really tracks to the framework that I was telling you about earlier around this idea about living wider with vitality and deeper with meaning. And if you put those two quadrants, not quadrants, those axes together, then you get quadrants. And my goal is to help us see, where are we today? You know, are we in the dead zone, which is like negative on meaning, negative on vitality, you know, faint pulse? Are we vitally empty, which is where we've got lots of fun happening? We are out there and we are going to the street festivals, but we come home and we feel like maybe we don't have a purpose, you know? About 10, 15% of people fall in that zone and 10% fall in that dead zone I told you about. The meatiest zone where most people fall, and it oscillates between like 39, 40, 41% of people call themselves, well, they identify as through the survey, meaningfully bored. And that means they have enough meaning in their life to be plus on meaning. Maybe they have a job that contributes something, or they're a parent or looking after aging parents or something that feels meaningful. But man, do they need a little more fun in their lives. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, Where's the excitement and the novelty? And like, I haven't tried Thai food in a while, like living a little, you know, like maybe the sort of like the all work, no play feeling. That's the majority. And like 9% of people are in astonishingly alive, which is truly positive on meaning and truly positive on vitality. And that's, of course, where we're aiming to be. And if in case you're a quick mathematician and you're wondering where the math, there's a big chunk in the middle called the mid zone. And that's where a lot of people just kind of, it's like a catch-all where it's a little bit of everything. Yeah.
Yeah. So how do people become astonishingly alive?
Mm-hmm.
Because that phrase, it's like, I want to be that.
I know. And my first step is to do what I call diagnose the dead zones. And okay, I would be a pretty horrific positive psychology practitioner if I didn't do a quick shout out to identify where the things are feeling lively in your life and just do more of them. You know, like amplify your positives and the strengths. Right. Okay, yes. Do more of it, which actually is a great shortcut. It's like if hanging around with Mitzi makes you feel just like you're laughing and you pee your pants and it's so good, hang around with Mitzi more. Okay, do that. But we also have to diagnose where things have flatlined. And I think sometimes we need to clue in and go, oh, you know, the thing that's making me feel just kind of, is that I haven't really perked up my social life lately. Or it could be that, wow, my recreation's just fallen off the map and I haven't really done much lately. I used to go to concerts or, you know, I used to take online courses and learn new things. Maybe if growth matters to you, identify where things need some CPR, so to speak. Got all the metaphors. Put the jumper cables on it and then activate, finding one thing you can do in order to help get a little bit of life back in that action. Many of us think it's an all or nothing thing, or it needs to be a big grand gesture. Like, I need to go on a big trip I can't afford, or I need to pick up and move across the country, or quit my job and go back to school and do those things if that really gets you going. But for most of us, we just need like the subtle little sustainable things, which include mm-hmm. having a list of things that, again, might be on your deathbed regret list. What's something you really yearn to do that you would feel that pang of regret for if you're, you know, cashing in your chips? What would be a thing? Well, you know, I've always wanted back to speaking Italian. The good news is we have the internet now and we could just look it up and we could find a way to start to learn Italian tonight. And so just one small step forward. So it's sort of like committing to a small step is a really big deal. And then back to the idea about, don't forget to count the Mondays. Don't forget the memento mori is the concept we're talking about here. You know,
you explained that really well. Can you tell us what that means?
For sure. Yeah. It's an old Latin phrase that dates back centuries and it means remember we must die. And it is just this whole entire carpe diem philosophy, which is, wow, it's only by remembering through that temporal scarcity that my time is limited, that it'll actually egg me on to do those things that normally I would just procrastinate forever and go to my grave with a whole lot of coulda, shoulda, wouldas.
And I think the timing on this, I think it's incredible that you started your map in 2020 and you have this whole mission, because I've seen so many people who haven't regained their vibrancy since the shutdown. I see people who are still in their own personal lockdown. And I think what you're doing here is reminding us, like, get out there and do these things again. And I think so everybody needs to hear this message, because we are still locked up in a lot of ways.
Oh, thanks for saying that. I agree with that fully. Your discussion about get out there, I think about this, like the workshops I give, there are people that rightfully will say, hey, what if though I'm more of an introvert? And getting up and out there is actually to me, my version of like a horror show. And so I would say, well, don't ruin your life. Like, I'm not, there's not a full prescription. It's like, you must be out 5 nights a week. No, because I also, I'm a homebody, you know, and my inclination is like cozy at home with a great movie and a great meal. And I also know, so it's like finding your right balance for now. But I think we have that sense, if we're being honest with ourselves, even if you've been feeling like, no, I like the quiet life, or I just want to read, and I just want the, great, do that. And what else though, look back in history, has made you feel alive? And usually it does mean saying yes a little bit more to some of those invitations in life. And I have to force myself. I am my own case study, you know, because my inclination, like I said, hello Netflix. And I need to be the one to remind myself when I get an invitation to go out to a happy hour. My first thought is, oh, I just want to wash my face and get in my jammies and just be, well, you know what?
Exactly.
When you come home from the thing, from the happy hour, how often have you regretted doing it?
Right.
Not often. It usually just makes you feel a little more invigorated and alive. And I just know my dose is I can't have more than one night a week, like one thing a week. But that's my prescription. And if I go a month where I have been kind of cocooning, well, then I know, oh, honey, you're going to need, remember, don't forget to widen your life with some vitality. What might that look like?
I love that. I love that. Now, you have a new book coming out. And it's ready for pre-order. It's coming out in May, but we're going to tell listeners how they can pre-order it. We'll give them a link to that. Can you talk a little bit about what they can expect from this book?
Oh, thanks for asking. It's called You Only Die Once, How to Make It to the End with No Regrets. And you know what? It's like everything we've been talking about here. So it's 10 chapters where we start with a pre-mortem. It's meant to be experiential, because as a, you know, coach, it's like, I'm not just going to be telling you stuff. I want you to do and think and then literally do more. But it's this pre-mortem to analyze, like, where am I today? Where do I want to be? What scares me? What would like an astonishingly alive life look like? And then we get into, okay, let's just talk for a quick hot sec. That we are going to die and why all this works and how, like, talk a little bit about death. You know, we go on a date with death. And then we talk about the idea about tapping into your regrets and how to shake things up and bust some of your habits that might be just kind of turning you into that highly functioning zombie. And then talking about how to widen your life with vitality, how to deepen your life with meaning. And then I'm really literal about like a paint by numbers approach to like you designing what would make you feel like, as Hunter S. Thompson said, like skidding in broadside in a cloud of smoke, thoroughly used up, totally worn out into our graves. Like, I want us to skid in broadside. And so this book is helping you to figure out what's your version of skidding in broadside. And then, of course, there's a postmortem, which is analyzing, okay, wrapping it all up. Like, what one thing do you want to do next? Because it, you know, it needs to be manageable. So yes, that is the experience. That's the wild ride of You Only Die Once.
So excited for this book to come out. So excited to see what this does and to really share your message with our listeners. So if they're listening right now, they can't get their hands on it till May. What do they do right now? Where do they start? How do they get off autopilot today and really start living with purpose?
Oh, love it. Love it. Love it. My thought is let's just go to the good old fashioned Counter Mondays. So go to the resources page at 4000mondays.com. Do that. Get yourself centered. See how it feels. You may look at it, and I did a workshop earlier this week, and someone was like, wow, that looks like a lot of Mondays. And I said, well, high five to you. And still, what do you want to do within those Mondays? Mind you, she wasn't even at the halfway mark yet. But
then it seems
remember,
like a lot.
Yes. Remember those years? Yes. So I would say yes. Like, first thing is count the Mondays. And then even something simple is just start jotting down notes about the stuff that you long to do. You know, it could be the most miniature version of a bucket list. Silly little things like You know, I remember when I turned 33, which was a very big year for me at that time. Three is my favorite number, so that I knew was going to be a big year. I was like, I'm going to cook my own artichoke. It just felt like that was something I wanted to do. And then, of course, there were things that were bigger scale that made sound more impressive for whatever, but who cares? Little, big, minute, magnificent. Just start listing some things that you might love to fit into this one wild and precious life. And then when the book comes out, you can make more sense of it. Absolutely.
I love it. I love it. Jody, we have so much to learn from you, and you make it so fun to learn, which doesn't always happen. So I appreciate you sitting down, taking this time with us and talking to us about living like we were dying.
Well put. It's been, well, in a world where like time is scarce, spending this time with you has been time well spent. So thank you.
That was Jody Wellman talking about how recognizing our mortality can help us make the most of the time that we have left. If you'd like to learn more about Jody, take her free Astonishingly Alive assessment, follow her on social media, or buy a copy of You Only Die Once, How to Make It to the End with No Regrets, just visit us at livehappy.com and click on the podcast tab. And while you're there, be sure to sign up for our weekly Live Happy newsletter. Every Tuesday, we'll drop a little bit of joy in your inbox with the latest stories, podcast info, and even a happy song of the week. That is all we have time for today. We'll meet you back here again next week for an all-new episode. And until then, this is Paula Phelps reminding you to make every day a happy one.